Santa Paula Planning Commission for January 23rd, 2018. You all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tom, roll call, please.
Commissioner Summer?
Present.
Commissioner Bangs?
Present.
And Chairman Eichert?
Here.
And Commissioner McPhail is absent, and Vice Chairman Robinson is absent.
Is this our final agenda for tonight?
Yes, it is.
No changes. At this point, if there any of the public want to comment on some item that is not on our agenda, you can submit a request to do so. We may or may not take it up at this time, but it's, at some point, the Planning Commission would review it. So if it's not on the agenda, you can submit something now. Seeing none, we'll continue on to the consent calendar. Approval of the minutes for October 24th, 2017.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. Ayes have it. That moves us on to the public hearing. I would ask that folks in the room, if you have one of these devices to communicate with, please put it on vibrate or stun or turn it off so we're not disrupted throughout the meeting. Was a legal notice?
Yes.
Both, thank you. Commissioners, do we have any conflicts?
None?
Not I? Any ex parte contacts?
None?
Okay. Let's open the public hearing. The topic before us is, first one is 16 CUP 06 BESS, Battery Energy Storage System. And who's going to present that?
I will introduce our presenter. I just wanted to welcome everyone back from last year to this year, after your holidays and whatnot. I'd like to reintroduce our contract planner, consultant planner, Chris Williamson, who's been working on the project that we call BESS, B-E-S-S, request for a conditional use permit for what we call a battery energy storage system, known as BESS. And at this point, I'll hand it over to Chris for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Jana. Good evening, commissioners, chair, and greetings to two of you. I haven't met Commissioner Bangs before, or Commissioner Summer. I don't think so. Oh, maybe, I'm sorry, then I have. So of the three of you, correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner Bangs, you would have not been here 18 months ago when this first came through as a item, okay? So certainly stop me anytime for questions. So the item before you, as stated, is a conditional use permit for what we're going to call a BESS, B-E-S-S. This is a energy facility that can produce rated as 5 megawatts, but it would be scalable up to 20 megawatts if completely built out. This is the location, the approximately 1.5 acre rectangular parcel at 132 North 13th Street. So looking at the diagram up here, this is 13th Street right here. It basically dead ends at the tracks, and this is Main Street. This is the site, vacant. There's the mobile home park across the street. I think it's about 30 residents in there. There's 4 homes on these 2 parcels right here. And then immediately west of the project site is the Edison Wakefield substation. And when from this facility, the energy, the BESS, connects to the grid that serves the entire city and then connects to the larger Edison grid that goes east and west to Moore Park and obviously west to Ventura. So that's why the site is here, obviously, is next to the Edison so they can get the power up into the grid. And then these are businesses in the immediate other areas. Here's a another view of the project site. This building has since been removed, and the site is just completely vacant with some trees over in this edge. And this building here is still there. It's largely, if you've seen, drove past it, it's kind of half, the walls have been removed somewhat, so that it, because it was a vacancy problem for a while, and now it's not, I don't think. And there is a chain link fence around the entire property. Again, here's a picture that was, this building is now gone, and basically it's just a large vacant parcel, 1.5 acres. So the BESS is an interesting and a new type of energy facility. I think you've all are aware that the energy structure in the state is changing gradually away from big power plants on the coast with gigantic transmission systems to more distributed power throughout different parts of the state, including solar power on people's roofs and so forth. And now in the last several years, the battery technology has progressed to the point where we're having kind of what I call utility scale batteries, battery installations like this that can provide directly to the grid significant power to power people's homes and so forth, either during an emergency as a backup system, or they can kick in during peak periods in the late afternoon. This is especially useful with solar power, because solar power starts to peter out around 4, 5, 6 o'clock, and yet demand continues until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And to bridge that gap between solar and nighttime when demand falls off, these batteries would kick in. And then during the day or overnight, they would recharge again. They can recharge in the morning from solar power, which is the idea behind this one, or they can recharge overnight using the reduced rates at night and the excess electricity from the other power plants in the area overnight. So these are beginning to come in different areas around the state. So this particular project, and the applicant is here tonight to represent and answer questions I can't answer, would consist of 20 reused shipping containers, which would be 603 battery modules mounted in racks in converted shipping containers. Each shipping container is 53 feet long, 8 feet wide, 9 feet high, the kind you see on the roads being trucked around. And in within that container would be all the electrical equipment that connects the batteries, a fire suppression system, warning systems. They're basically self-contained batteries. Each one is roughly 1 megawatt. And then outside on the rest of the property is the other related equipment that connects the batteries to the Wakefield substation, basically on the ground. And then overhead would be the solar panels. So solar panels or photovoltaic, PV, the overhead array is basically connected to the containers. So the containers themselves hold up the array. They charge the BESS during the morning and afternoon hours. They'd be about 14 feet above the surface of the ground or 5 feet above the container. And they're being designed to not create any glare that would affect airport and flight operations as the planes come around the city. So you would not get reflection off of these panels that would endanger pilots. And then on the remainder of the site, there would be a fence going around the property, a roadway that goes around the containers. The small building that's still there would be retrofitted under current building codes to be an office with sprinklers and so forth. And then along 13th Street would be landscaping for the per city code and sidewalk curb and gutter. Here's an artist rendering or conceptual of the build out. Looking at 13th Street is on the top of your screen. So you can see there's the small building being reused. Here's the 20 containers with not the entire solar array, but if all the solar was built, it would cover all the containers. But you can see the solar is basically just mounted on top of the containers. These are other electrical equipment that, I don't know the terminology, takes the battery power and changes it so that it can go into the grid system here. This is the Wakefield substation. so it connects underground over here to the Wakefield substation. This is an unmanned facility. It just sits there charging away and discharging as needed. Basically, the either Edison or the Cal ISO, the independent system operator, says, turn it on, send me power, turn it off, et cetera. So it's not really under local immediate control in this area. This is the zoning and the surrounding land uses. The zoning and the general plan for this area is commercial light industrial, which does allow the use with a conditional use permit. Because this was a new use and somewhat certainly new to the city, we wanted to be very, very careful about environmental review and hazard and risk assessment. So an environmental review was completed in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act, prepared by Rincon Consultants. The document is an initial study mitigated negative declaration, or MND. The results of the analysis in many topic areas found reasons for five mitigations, which are included and applied to the project permit. Three are kind of routine mitigations here that involve anytime you dig up trench or go down a couple feet in the ground, you want to be aware of potentially uncovering human remains and or other cultural resources as you dig. So there'll be monitoring during those operations. That's routine. The project will also need to prepare a hazardous materials plan and file that and work with the county and the city certified unified program agency, or CUPA, which includes the fire department. So that takes care of the hazardous materials, construction materials, and so forth. And then finally, the project and the operator and the owners would prepare with the city or county, fire department, or both, an emergency contingency plan. And also, this would lead to some training for the fire department and, you know, what happens if. So they're aware that if there is a fire within a battery, the containers themselves would immediately kick in and put out gases and suppress the fire and so forth. And if they have to, they vent. This was all been thoroughly reviewed in the MND document and a special study about that. The MND was drafted last spring and circulated for public comment between May and June. Some comments came in, but none were significant that led to any different findings or additional mitigations. And staff recommends adoption of the MND in compliance with CEQA. As part of the project, the applicants have agreed to what we're calling a public benefit plan. This is not thoroughly fleshed out yet. It's somewhat flexible because the city hasn't quite decided on where they would want this plan to work. So basically, the applicants agreed under condition number 16, and at no cost to the city, they would work with the Public Works Department to locate and design what's called a behind-the-meter solar PV battery facility at a public facility of the city's choice. Could be City Hall, could be the water treatment plant, or a existing or future corporate yard. For the city, it would make sense to select a site perhaps that has the highest electricity consumption, because what this device will do is on site have solar power, kind of like a small BESS. The solar panels would charge the battery. The battery would then discharge electricity during the peak rate periods that Edison charges the highest rate, and that would help reduce the city's electricity costs. So it's pretty simple. It's called a behind the meter. You're not generating power out into the grid. You're just offsetting what you would normally buy from Edison, and you're kind of getting it at a much lower cost overall. So once designed, the applicant would build the facility and own it for at least 7 years. That's due to sort of federal tax incentives, and they get to write it off and things like that under federal tax. That's very common. Then, after 7 years, the city could have the option to purchase it under some terms yet to be determined. And this whole package is commonly called a purchase power agreement. And it's very routine and common. And so, essentially, the applicant's willing to work with the city at no upfront cost to kind of get a really good deal on a PPA. And that's a benefit to the city financially. So with that, the recommendation of staff, you have several alternatives. Adopt the final MND and resolution number 3774 to allow this facility at 132 North 13th Street, subject to conditions of approval, is recommendation number one. Number two, you could continue the hearing if you deem there's additional information you need, or three, deny the request. So staff recommends that you select alternative number one, adopting the MND as adequate for CEQA, and adopting resolution 3774, subject to the conditions therein, and approve the project. So I'll be happy to answer your questions. Again, a representative of the applicant is here, Ms. Jamie Nagel. Put her hand up. She's here from Sacramento and has been here before. I should mention also that the applicant party was very, very cooperative with staff back last spring, and they, on their own, not required by their permit, followed our suggestions to have public meetings to introduce this, especially to the immediate neighborhood and the people in the trailer park. I think they went door to door and put notices on their doors. They had Spanish translation. So they've gone out of their way and followed every suggestion we had to introduce this to the public and to the city.
Commissioners, any questions of staff?
No.
All right, then we do have some, I don't have any questions of either right now. We do have some cards. First up, Cheryl Hamlin.
Mr. Chairman, did the applicant want to speak to?
She'll answer questions if
yeah, if we have them, then we'll go after. Okay, Cheryl, you're up.
Well, good evening. Happy 2/18. I love being first. I see no reason not to approve this project tonight. It's obviously high tech, but I wanted to point out what I feel is. What's missing from the document and the description, not to disparage your work, it's always excellent, is the real-time computer application that's really the guts of this. If you look at the project that they did, the successful project they did in the Coachella Valley, where the bus had a different function there. The bus was by design, by spec with the customer, was programmed through SCADA to recognize what they call a grid event. And when that happened, the bus would electrify the electrical components of their gas-fired peaker plant, bring that up online in minutes, where it might have taken much longer. And then from a position of being a source of the power, it would become the sink, and it would actually receive power and be recharged again, and the whole system was in stasis. So it's really quite clever. And none of that has been worked out yet with Edison, and because there are many levels that we have to be worked out when it's restarted, when there's a grid event, et cetera, how it's interfaced with the substation, the grid, et cetera. So, and this is truly the magic, this handshaking of the project. So what I would suggest, I personally would be very interested in knowing all of this, and I think other people would be too, you would be, is to approve the project and then have a another meeting in the future when this is worked out, because it obviously has to be concluded before it's brought online, and understand how this all works in, because this is really, really the guts of it, the exciting part in my mind.
Thanks, Cheryl. Mary Ann Krause. Good to see you.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm a member of the Santa Paula Alliance, which was formed to oppose the Mission Rock Peaker Plant. I'm here tonight on my own behalf. Many of us in the Alliance have been talking about this project and think it's a wonderful example of what an alternative is to the Mission Rock Peaker Plant. Obviously, the number of kilowatt hours that this produces would not replace the proposed Mission Rock Peaker plant, but if you had similar projects distributed throughout the county where they could best be integrated into the local area, it would do much more for the county than having a single peaker plant at some location. So I'm really thrilled that we're the first community that is looking at such a project here in the county. And my only environmental concern at this point, I'm thrilled to know that glare related to aircraft was considered, but I would hope also that glare had been eliminated as a potential consequence for properties on the hillside, because that can be a very irritating factor. I'm just here to support this project and say sure hope it goes through, and good job.
Thank you, Marianne. Carl Krause.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm just here to say I think this is a great project. It's the kind of project that we need all over Southern California. I'm happy to see it in Santa Paula, and I hope that with a few more people cooperating, we'll get rid of these silly natural gas-fired power plants.
Thanks, Carl. And we have Jamie Newell. Oh. That's you.
That's me, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Put my card in case anyone.
Oh, okay. Well. Do you want to talk in favor of this, or? Okay, we've heard folks. All good comments. I personally am in favor of this project. Look out, Earl's in the house. We won't address how fast you drove to get here after arriving in. I think it's a good project, too. We were, when it first came to us to even look at and get talked about, it looked like something that Santa Paula ought to select. So I'm in favor of it. Commissioners, any comments? If not, anyone entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the staff recommendation.
I'll say adoption number one for final best ISMND resolution number 3774, subject to the conditions we discussed.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries. So, item A. Good. Next item. Tom, you can log him in. Okay, our next item is 16 CDP 02, Collector Car Vault.
That's correct.
And
all right.
Mr. Dominic.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. The following is a hearing at the request of Adam Drazen and Xavier Magnin, the property owners, to consider case number 16P02, Collector Car Vault. The application was filed May 11th, 2016. It's a while ago, and so I've been working on it diligently. We're proud to bring it to you tonight. Both the property owner, Mr. Drazen and Mr. Magnin, are here in the audience, as well as both architects from Hockhauser Blotter, should there be any questions at the end. To get started, the location of this is at the intersection, the northeast intersection of Telegraph Road and Halleck Drive. If you've been to the Shell station out off there, just north of the railroad tracks, is this 3-acre parcel. The important thing to note is all around there, this is taken a few years ago, this is the East Area 1 project. You can see where over here it's all dirt. This used to be the rows and rows of citrus and avocado orchards. Those are all gone. A more recent photo shows the extensive site activity, all of that site preparation, rock removal, and whatnot for East Area 1. It's important to note that of the 501 acres within the East Area 1 specific plan, this property is the sole privately owned project. It is not part of East Area 1, although within the specific plan, it is excluded. The other 498 acres are the Limoneira Lewis East Area 1 or Harvest project. This is the exception. This is the best photo we have because it's such a large site of the overall building. It's built from 1912, 1935, some additions. This larger rectangular area, we see the two sawtooth roofs and the large ground floor warehouse. That has a basement almost identical size, subterranean. It used to be feed the citrus processing. It happened on the railroad lines, and that pretty much ended around 1960. There's an outbuilding slab on grade and another little separate outbuilding right there. So that's the entire property. As we mentioned, the East Area 1 specific plan covers all of that, and this is specifically called out separate. This is the 1 3-acre parcel known as the East Center Overlay, which allows slightly different land uses that are other than the remainder of the master planned community. And for that, the guiding document today is the East Area 1 specific plan. Normally we talk about the overall development code, but this one in the general plan, this one's a little different. So we went through table 5.3, looked at the variety of land uses and business activities, and of those, 4 would require a conditional use permit. The ones that would be up for approval today by the Planning Commission are these 4, which is vehicle storage, which is the primary business there, would include everything, motorcycles, RVs, boats, and that would all be indoors, you know, hence the name, the Collector Car Vault. Then vehicles being prepared for storage or checked out for retrieval would include that vehicle storage preparation and restoration. They could sit there for a long time, they may need battery charge, check tires, you know, all of those sort of things would have to be determined before they're roadworthy and released for people to go drive. Additionally, they've offered sales and services. The collectors, you know, they buy and sell and trade, and this is another service that they would be offering to these. And then additionally, part of the conditional use permit would be dry storage. You know, typical mini storage uses would be allowed. This is from their company website. This is the principal business. It's what they call like a turnkey service, full concierge. The folks would come up. They're tailoring it to a more high-end clientele, probably because of the rates and other services that are available. Additionally, although not requirement, this is permitted by right, one of the other businesses that would be on the site is the Dr. Benz, and this is like an antique sale. You know, they have a 22-year period. If you have a Mercedes-Benz from 1950 to 72, and you need a certain part or piece, you know, this is one of the folks offering that service. This is site photos from September of 2016. This is used to be a mechanics area, and it's been repurposed now as an office. This paint shed to the right would be demolished, and that's where the future caretakers unit would be. Overall, the whole facility has been landscaped, and they've done an excellent job. It's a really nice collection of various succulents. There's some olive trees and everything else, and it's really done well. The whole base is that decomposed granite, and that can support the emergency vehicles. If you go down into the basement, here's an older photo of these are the actual vaults in the name Collector Car Vault. Those are secured locations down in the basement. And then upstairs, you can see part of the natural light coming in. This is one of those clear story wings. This was a former artist studio, and that could be repurposed for storage as well. Most of this project will occur behind the scenes in building and safety upgrades, mechanical systems, fire sprinklers, reassessment of floors for load-bearing capacity. So a lot of it is going to end up resolving itself in plan check, but we are here tonight just to talk about the uses. For environmental review, there's 2 factors. On its own, this project is exempt from CEQA per Section 15301, which is essentially the rehabilitation of older structures to contemporary life safety standards. However, in general, this project, at the time of the certified East Area 1 specific plan amendment from 2014, it was considered. It was known it was going to be a storage facility, especially vehicles, and so all of that was included within that specific plan amendment. So it was considered as part of the larger project, as well as we looked at it discreetly for this one here today. In summary, the overall project going forward would, through the plan check process, would remodel and modernize it, you know, bring it up to code, provide a tremendous amount of additional life safety that just wasn't there from the 1912, and it never really received any new TLC other than here today. The building code violations are existing. They would be resolved, again, through the plan check process should it receive approval tonight, and they are not for life safety issues. The violations do not prevent immediate danger. It is compatible with surrounding land use. As you mentioned, it was considered within that larger specific plan. And as conditioned and reviewed, it would meet all the applicable development code and specific code standards and policies. This is an artist's conception of, you know, what sort of the final version looks like. Overall, on the outside, not too different, maybe some new paint, but again, you can see the variety of folks visiting, you know, coming through, you know, to either drop off or retrieve the cars. So in conclusion, the staff does recommend approval of Project 16 CDP02 for Resolution 3775, which entails support of the findings, the exemption from CEQA per Section 15301, and the conditions of approval, which are Exhibit A of your staff report or as modified by the Planning Commission here tonight. I'm available for questions, and again, both the property owners are here and the architects, should you have any questions or concerns.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any questions?
Chairman, before we go any further, can we have Commissioner McPhail confirm he doesn't have any conflicts or ex parte contacts, since he missed that?
For
either item.
Any ex parte contacts?
No.
But for this item, yeah.
No.
No. Okay. Thank you. Okay, any questions of staff on this topic? None? None. Does the anyone else want to make comments? Any more presentation? Yes? No? All right. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion. We approve Resolution 3775, approving the Community Development Permit 2016 CDP02 to allow Collector Car Vault to engage in multiple business operations at the former packing house, 18201 East Telegraph Road, subject to all the conditions of approval we have discussed in front of us this evening.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, very good. I'll close the public hearing. Which brings us to order of business A, election of new Planning Commission officers. And although we do have Earl here, that gives us four. I still think we should wait until Fred's back with us so we have a full house to...
Sure, Chairman, that's up to your pleasure. You have four of you here this evening. In the past, we have waited to have a full vote of complement of five so that you each have an opportunity to discuss this. I don't see an issue with putting it off for a month. If that's okay with you folks, we can just move it to February.
Works for me.
Okay, no objection? Okay.
Do you need a motion?
Do we need a motion?
I think
I so move.
Okay, can you also make it date specific so we have that?
The February Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, that would be February 27th.
Okay.
Okay.
Second. All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye. Now, opposed? None? All right, good. And moving on, new business. Any?
Not at this point. Time.
No new business. How about city communications? Nothing from the planning department?
Heck. Business is picking up. That's the great news. Our general plan update is moving along, and we're anticipating potentially some more community input or study session within the next couple months. For those of you who are newer to this, on the city website, we have a link to the general plan update. There's a background report and some survey results and whatnot that have been on there for a year and a half. The background report was put on, I think, within the last couple months. But if you're not familiar with what we've been doing the past 2 years, if you have time, I would just urge you to each go to the website. It's what, Plan Santa Paula?
My Santa Paula.
My Santa Paula is the... website dedicated to the general plan update information, and it has a lot of information on it. Other than that, let's see, East Area 1 is moving along. Obviously, there was the groundbreaking last November, and we're processing, you know, various requests with that and anticipate seeing some movement in the next couple months. And we probably have a good agenda for February for Planning Commission, because as I said, business is booming and we're getting applications and requests for a variety of things.
Good. Thank you, Jenna. That's all a good sign.
I
If business is booming, that means good stuff for Santa Paula. I don't think we need to address the Planning Commission one, although it does have to do with the Design Assistance Committee, so we'll take that up in February. But somebody ought to be thinking about volunteering for that. Just saying. It's difficult to schedule your time to match up with the Design Assistance Committee, because I've been doing that, and it's I think I've made one meeting. All right. Any requests for future agenda items? Commissioners? No? Hearing none? We're adjourned.
Good job, Chair.
Went a little long tonight.